Hey, it's a blessing to be here with you tonight. It's especially so because I don't know if you realize it or not, but tonight I'm going to be joined by two helpers that I'm really excited about, and I'll call them up in a few minutes, Faith Bates and Anthony Villagomez. But tonight is a rare occasion. Actually, starting tonight, the two Eves of Christmas Eve and also Hanukkah Eve actually begin tonight. You may not know this, but actually it's very special because this is so rare. As a matter of fact, it was approximately 40 years ago, exactly to be right, 38 years ago that this happened again, but it does vary. So it's a long time where those two coincide with each other. But lighting a candle in the darkness, that is something that stands on its own. According to Rabbi Jack Moline, he said, just as the early winter night was closing in and the Christmas lights around began to twinkle, it was a powerful image, a strong metaphor for both the Christians and the Jews. Because to them, it's special as well because it's their celebration of Hanukkah, or also considered as the Festival of Light. But to fall on this weekend at the same time is an extreme rarity. And actually, as we think about it, as millions of people around the world tonight, especially in America, are celebrating either Hanukkah or celebrating, of course, Christmas Eve. And it is truly special. Of course, we're here to celebrate Christmas Eve and to be reminded of that. But in 2016, the first day of Hanukkah will actually be tomorrow, the 25th. Because Hanukkah is typically celebrated since its beginning or its inception on Kislev 25, which also coincides with December 25, where we celebrate Christmas. However, despite this, the Hebrew calendar days begin at sundown of the day before. So tonight, the first candle is lit for a Hanukkah on the 8-branch candlestick. So they will light that candle tonight, and the final one they'll light is next week. So it really does find its unusual application in all of us because, you see, we know the light. The light of the world is Jesus Christ, and he's come to light up our path. I'll share more about that on the light itself, pun intended, tomorrow on the light of the world. But this evening, though, I want to invite up Anthony, and also I want to invite up our dear, sweet little girl, Faith, who sang for us at the beginning of this Christmas season. So come on up to your places, and they're going to be reading the scripture for us. And so let's give them a hand as they come up to encourage them. And so Faith is the daughter of Mark and Gilda Bates, and then we have Anthony Villagomez, the son of Armand and Veronica, and tonight they're going to be reading each various passages. It's going to start off with Faith, as she's going to read tonight in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. So if you want to turn there, then you can follow along as she shares.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to you Mary your wife, for that which has conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with a child, a bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being arose from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Thank you.
Matthew 2, verses 1 through 11. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born, king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judah, for thus it is written by the prophet. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he has sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced in exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Yes, let's give a hand to... Thank you. You may be seated. And how special. I want to use them again. Are you available Sunday morning? No. I'm speaking tonight off of the verses that they shared with us, and I've titled it Expectation of the Light. When we think of expecting, I think of moms, new moms, with a baby being born, and that anticipation, that excitement, getting everything ready and preparing for that event. And the husbands are getting everything ready, getting the cribs taken care of, painting the room, and getting everything just right for that child to come into this earth. But yet, I also think about the election and the anticipation, the whole expecting of who is going to win that election. And then I think about the overthrowing of that election and who's going to be able to succeed in doing that. And of course, all of these things are about expectations. How about jobs? As far as we can think of, we say, well, are people really expecting jobs or hoping for a job and hoping to have work? Of course they are. And how about sale items? Of course everybody's doing that. Just recently, I was noticing the fact that people were lined up at Best Buy to get some kind of a game before they ran out or to get it early. But yet, then I also think about the dedication it takes for what kind of gift that's going to be given to somebody else. And of course, I'm expecting some pretty nice gifts, actually. But I already have it, and that is my wife and my family and you and the Lord, of course, most of all. But the expectation of the lights. The Jews, of course, celebrate Hanukkah, which in Hebrew, the term Hanukkah actually means dedication. And so what does that mean? Well, it refers to the fact to the Jews that this light that would be shining that they were looking forward to, that promise of the Messiah who would come, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would be that great light as Isaiah spoke of him and many other of the prophecies spoke of all of the unique features of what was going to happen when the Christ would be born. But yet, they didn't anticipate the way it was going to be. They didn't look forward to what the scriptures said, and so therefore they missed out on a lot of opportunity, as some of us do. So when we're expecting something, of course, we're hoping that it'll be as we are expecting it to be. But as tonight, Faith, when she read us these verses out of verses 18 through 25, we see the actual human heredity of Jesus Christ and how his genealogy is given to us right here in scripture. But yet, you don't have to go to Ancestry.com to figure it out. It's all laid out for us right here. And it's amazing to me because when the temple was destroyed, many of the records were destroyed, but the scriptures we have intact. And they tell us completely the lineage and the genealogy of Jesus Christ. But then I think about, as it was also read for us, the divine genealogy, but the mission of what Jesus was to accomplish. For Isaiah spoke of it in chapter 42, verses 6 through 7. He says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and I will hold your hand, and I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. He says, to bring out prisoners from the prison, and those who sit in darkness from the prison house. And what the prophet was speaking of is Israel. As they were going through their captivity and the bondage and the circumstances, it was a dark world for them, a very dark set of circumstances. And yet God told them that he was going to bring a light. But before the light was going to be given to them through Isaiah, it would be a light to the Gentiles. And we who have seen that light, Jesus Christ, he's come into our life, and we are to let that light shine. So Anthony, when he read those passages, he gives us after the fact that when Jesus was born, the wise men were seeking for him. They were looking for, if you notice in verse 8, they were looking for the young child. And then it also tells us in verse 11, when they found him, it says, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. And so there is a uniqueness, but notice the words there, house. It's not the same thing that you've been thinking about tradition-wise. So there's events that have happened in Scripture that are very accurate, but we, through our traditions, have kind of reshaped some of these things. But the reality is, the most important part, and that is Jesus, the light, has come. And he's here tonight in our lives, your life and mine. But I love the fact of what these gifts are, for they tell us really what his mission was really all about. If you think, first of all, there in verse 11, it says they presented gifts to him, and the three of them were gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Well, the gold speaks of his royalty, speaks of his lordship. The gold, of course, has obvious worth, but it's a gift fit for royalty. And yet, God deserves the best, and he deserves the best of what we can offer him too. And when I start thinking about the gifts, I have my wife always go through and make a list of everything we're going to get for everybody. And then I think to myself, and I had a lot of time to do that recently as recovering. And as I was thinking to myself, perhaps in some cases dangerously, I was thinking about what can I give to the Lord? That he already has everything. But what could I give to him? And I really had to be considering this in a very meaningful way. And I'm still considering this. So the greatest gift I can give is myself to the Lord and to serve him, to love him, and to follow him. But I also think of other gifts I can give to him. And so I'm still working on that list. And yet, I don't have to worry about that Christmas carol being naughty or nice because, you see, I'm not waiting for Santa Claus to come to town. The light has come, and he's Jesus Christ. And he's looking at my life, and he says, Dave, I can improve that. I can make that better. As a matter of fact, I can forgive you, and I can set you free as the captive has the joy of being set free. And the same is true for you. But the second gift, a gift worthy of his holiness, it was frankincense. As a matter of fact, it says in Psalm 95, verse 6, oh, come, let us worship and bow down, and let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You see, praise is always appropriate on the lips of God's people. Another gift you can give to God is your praise. So tell him right now, God, I thank you. Yeah, absolutely. It can begin there, but it shouldn't end there. So the frankincense, but the frankincense also represented priesthood. And he's our high priest. He's not only our Lord and Savior and our Redeemer, but he is also our high priest. The Bible says that he ever lives to make intercession. He's praying for you and I. But the myrrh, that's interesting because you see, the myrrh is worthy of his sacrifice. As a matter of fact, myrrh was used in Egypt in the embalming process of mummification. There's 22 references in the Bible to the word myrrh. And myrrh was used to anoint every part of the tabernacle in the wilderness even. It was to preserve. It was poured out on the feet of Jesus just a week before his death. And it was, of course, symbolic of the fact that he would die. But it's interesting, when Isaiah spoke of this prophetically some 7 centuries before the birth of Christ, he spoke of these gifts uniquely. He says that gold would be there, frankincense would be there, and Isaiah 60, verse 6, but not the myrrh. Because you see, when Jesus would come and he would die once. And so the reality of the future for the millennial reign to take place, he doesn't have to die again. He's alive forevermore. But his royalty exists, and so does the awareness of his worthiness. They both exist. And so as we give to him our relationship tonight, as we look to him, we can trust him with our life. According to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, I therefore beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you would present a present to him. And what is it? Your life. It's worthy and acceptable to the Lord. So Hanukkah is a feast of dedication, but I propose to you tonight, there is another dedication that needs to take place. You see, Hanukkah was a time where they had, in fact, the temple that stood. And the temple, of course, was overthrown and destroyed. I'll talk more about this tomorrow. And yet, so the Jews, when they lost their temple and it was given over to pagan worship and they desecrated the altar and everything, but the Jews, actually what they did, they overthrew the aggressors and they were able to take back that temple. But yet, when they did, they had to purify it. And once again, I'll talk more about that tomorrow, but the purification was actually not a dedication for the Jews to come back. It was a rededication. So when I think of Hanukkah, I think rededication. When I think of you as Christians, I go, you know what? The greatest gift we can give to God, first of all, is first place in our life to be our Lord and Savior. But secondly, have you thought about giving Him a rededication of your life? To follow Him, to serve Him, to love Him even more as He loves you? Because you see, I believe truly this is a gift we can give to Him with a whole heart, a pure heart. And we can give it to Him right away. There's no need to stop and give it a lot of thought other than, God, I give you myself. So Hanukkah actually is the feast of dedication, as it's also called, but it's a rededication. And a rededication to what? Well, when the first candle was lit, it was lit as a light of hope. Tonight, the Jews in Hanukkah celebration will light the first candle, and it represents to them hope. And yet, you can't live without hope. We all need hope. And yet the reality is tonight it gives to us that ability to rededicate our heart to God and to have the hope of what He's going to do in our life for tomorrow and for the next day and for the next year. But I'll tell you what, I'm really excited because God answered some of my prayers, because when I made a decision to have a surgery on my knee and the doctor told my wife and I when I was there for my post-op, he said, Dave, I've never seen a knee that bad. And I thought, well, thank you. And but he says, I took care of it. And I go, yeah, I'm happy. And you know what I prayed before I even agreed to this? I prayed that I would be able to be back here with you Christmas Eve. And I would be able to be here Christmas morning. And I could have that recovery. And I'll tell you what, I can do it. I can't do the salsa. I'm working on that. But I never could do it anyhow. So my wife tried to teach me. It never worked. But the reality is what did work for me is the hope that I have in Jesus Christ, that He will cover all those areas of my life that I need Him to cover, that He will cover His church here, and that He will do a mighty work in your life and in my life, in my family, in your families. So Hanukkah, to us, we look at it and go, that's an important feast for the Jews. But they never saw who the light really was. The light isn't just a light that burns in a candle, but the light that burns in our hearts and in our lives. Jesus said that we are the ones who possess that light, and that light is in us. It's not about the temple. It's about we, the temple, and the light shining in us. So let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. So you might consider, what can I give to God? You can give a rededication. What can I expect? You can expect that God's going to bring changes to your heart, changes to your life, and that He's going to bless your life. And I told that to a Jewish friend I haven't spoken to in several years, and he was studying to be a rabbi, and we used to trade scriptures back and forth, and he just got in touch with me today. And I shared with him about the hope that I have in Christ. It's not a light of hope only, but it's a light of Jesus Christ. And of course, I would love to have him share that experience with me, but he's not ready for that, but you are. So let's let that light be shared in our life and with our family and our loved ones. Tonight, we're going to have a candlelight vigil right after the communion. First, we're going to have communion. They're going to serve us now, and then afterwards, we're going to have a candlelight vigil. You say, why a candlelight vigil? And go ahead as you're preparing to hand out the bread in a cup. And everybody, please hold on to it. But a vigil, according to Webster's Dictionary, means a watch on the eve of a significant feast. So a significant feast is, of course, Hanukkah or the birth of Christ. And a watch meant to formally be kept before this religious time with prayer and devotion as a spiritual preparation. Tomorrow, we have the fulfillment of our Christ being born that we celebrate, but the fulfillment begins here now. Pass out the bread and the cup, please, and hold on to it, and we'll partake together.
Your life laid down, crucified, your arms stretched out and open wide to rescue me so I can be a child of God. From nail-pierced hands and thorn-pierced brow, your blood flows down to me somehow. It cleanses me so I can be a child of God. Your life lay down and crucified, your arms stretched out and open wide to rescue me so I can be a child of God. From nail-pierced hands and thorn-pierced brow, your blood flows down to me somehow. It cleanses me so I can be a child of God. Praise to the Lamb that was slain. Praise to the Father who gave His Son away. The proof of love, the price of grace, you traded all to take my place. You rescued me so I could be a child of God. Praise to the Lamb that was slain. Praise to the Father who gave His Son away. Yeah. The proof of love, the price of grace, you traded all to take my place. You rescued me so I could be a child of God. The proof of love, the price of grace, you traded all to take my place. You rescued me so I can be a child of God.
Yes. As it says in the Gospel of John, that he came into his own, but his own did not receive him. But to those who received him, he gave the right and the power to become children of God, in whom we are. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I pray tonight that all of you have found that relationship. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. A relationship for eternity with God, the God of all creation. How can he who has made everything resist you? He hasn't. He welcomes you. When John the apostle was taken up into heaven on the Isle of Patmos, it tells us a description he had in Revelation. And he turns around to see the voice that spoke to him, and he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. And then he says, I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, there was one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet and girded about with a chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun, shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. You see, tonight, as I lit the menorah, and it's always to be lit from the left to the right. If you were celebrating Hanukkah, it would still be the same thing. It's always lit from the left to the right. That requires another explanation, but my time forbids it. However, when I lit it, You might have questioned, like, why is he lighting that? We're not celebrating Hanukkah, he said. No, we're not. And that's the wrong candelabra for that. This is a menorah. It's a seven-branch candlestick. And the reason I lit it is because in Revelation, when John saw this vision, he saw the Lord moving through the menorah. And the menorah was representing the churches that belong to Jesus Christ. As the Lord moves through his church, and he moves through our life personally, he's not just a child, a baby that was born. He grew up, and he became an adult. And he told the world at that time who he was and why he was there. But he also knew that he had to die, and that he would give his life for the world, for you and I. But to all who call upon him, they can be saved, because he would pay the price for them. For the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so he died on that cross. He was buried in the grave there in the tomb. But after 3 days, he rose again, and he's alive forevermore. Paul the Apostle said he was seen by over 500 witnesses at one time. And then he ascended into the heavens and there to go and prepare a place for you and I. But tonight, we're looking forward to his birth and recognizing that, because it's the great incarnation, born of a virgin. I know a lot of pastors who don't want to say that anymore, but I'm telling you, he was born of a virgin. And his conception was by the Holy Spirit, not by man alone. So tonight, we follow after a true and living God. And on that night, the Bible says that Jesus was betrayed in that upper room. He took the bread and the cup. He broke it, the bread. And he says, partake of this. Do it in remembrance of me. And he took the cup, and he told his disciples to partake of it. So tonight, I want you to say these words in prayer with me as we get ready to receive the bread and the cup. Say out loud, Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I give you my life, and I confess my sins, that you're faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I pledge not only my life, but my heart, that you are my Lord. So bless this bread and this cup as I remember and dedicate my life to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake of the bread and cup, please. Thank you, gentlemen, for serving us. And if somebody could collect the cups, please, so that they have a free hand for their candles. And as we get ready to have the candlelight vigil right now, it's something that we're looking in a very dark world, but it's time to dedicate or to rededicate our life to God. And I believe our nation needs us as the body of Christ to be ready, to be dedicated, and to let our light shine, because our world's in trouble. But we have been given a special blessing from God. Even California is being healed. It's raining. Not right tonight, but it's raining. That's a miracle. And yet the Bible says if God shuts up the heavens, if his people will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I will heal their land and he'll make it rain. And I believe also it's a time to say Merry Christmas. I read an article this morning that said, because of this election, that there's been something new happening. And that newness, and believe this or not, and I'm not telling you about who was elected and who was voted, but I'm telling you that because of this election and who was elected, people feel the freedom to say Merry Christmas more than they have over the last 8 years. That's recorded today in the news. So I tell you, in the name of Jesus, Merry Christmas to you, and it'll always be Merry Christmas to us in the church. But we can go around and tell the world that. Tonight, as we light these candles, I'm going to begin, but I want you parents to be aware of the children who will have a candle. Just make sure that when they're moving it around, it doesn't go to somebody's long hair who might be standing in front of them, please. It's something I always have to say. My daughter tells me I shouldn't say that. Please stand.
Joy says, glory under praise.
a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born.
By the light,
led by the light of faith, serenely beaming with glowing hearts, by His cradle we stand. So led by light of a star, sweetly gleaming, here came the wise men from the Orient land. The King of Kings lay thus in lowly manger, in our light trials, born to be our friend. Fall on your knees, oh, angel voices, oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born.
As I look out here and I see all of these lights shining, my heart just is joyful because I love every single one of you, and I pray for you, and I thank God for you and the many others who are not here tonight, and some of you, of course, are guests here tonight. But yet, I want to say that this will be the last time in my entire career that I will be able to say that I celebrated the lighting of the candles for Hanukkah and Christmas Eve together, because it won't happen again for 40 more years, and I won't be here. I'll be in heaven with the true light that shines beyond our light. So I don't plan on being here for another 40 years, but I can also tell you this. This is so special when you think about it, because tomorrow morning, it's Christmas, yes. My wife and I are going to celebrate Christmas before we come to church with our dog, not bringing her to the church, but celebrating Christmas with our dog. But we're going to have Christmas breakfast together before we come to church tomorrow to celebrate with you. But let me say something about that. Do you know that it only happens about every 15 years where Christmas falls about the same time as our Hanukkah? Because truly, tomorrow is the first day of Hanukkah, but it begins Hanukkah on the first eve. But the first day of Hanukkah, the 25th of Kislev, is tomorrow. It's not tonight. So 15 more years. We won't be able to do it for another 15 more years now. I'm not sure about the timing on that with me, but I will tell you this. I hope that I can celebrate with you Sunday after Sunday as we wait for the Lord and His coming to call His church home. But now we must live for Him, because the world needs a light. And you've got the light that expels darkness. I pray, Father God, for everyone here tonight. I pray, Lord, for their families, for their sharing together Christmas tomorrow, for their sharing together with their loved ones, that God, you'll pour out your blessing upon their life even greater than ever before. Bless, Lord. Heal our land. Heal our people. Watch over our government. And God, may we truly have the freedom to worship you. And I pray, God, that Jesus is Lord and it can be openly declared in our world. I thank you for this Christmas Eve, 2016. I thank you in the name of Jesus. And church, if you agree, shout amen.